Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
So what?
I'm going to start things off today with a comment that I read on Facebook recently. It's from somebody named Brian Powers, and I don't know Brian, but he had this to say about my show. To be fair, I wanted to listen to Monty's podcast, but I'm 7 minutes in, and I can't listen anymore. No offense, but his stoner delivery is grating, and the content is stuff I just don't care about.
Aw, that is so nice.
Well, thanks so much, Brian. I appreciate you giving my show a fair chance and listening for 7 minutes, because some people only last one or two.
That's true.
And I know the content of my podcast isn't for everybody. Some people have no interest in new music that they've never heard before. And they're fine with the same old crap you can hear every single day on your FM radio station. So no, this show isn't for everybody. In fact, maybe it's not for anybody except me.
That's probably right.
But I keep doing them because they're fun, I've got something to say, and this podcast gives me a voice. Even if that voice sounds like a stoner. So, dudes, welcome to the Rockcast.
Alright.
Grab some Doritos and enjoy the show.
I find that I can't listen for more than 3 minutes.
Today I thought I'd do something I haven't done in a while, which is spin the giant wheel of segments.
Woo!
Oh yeah, you know, I got to thinking, if I'm gonna keep a giant wheel inside of my house, I might as well go ahead and use it. So today I will be spinning it, and whatever segment it lands on, that's what I'm gonna do. And the first segment will be Uncle Monty's Listening Corner. This is where I check out what's new and old on my iPod. And the first selection is from a new CD from Paul McCartney, and the name of the CD is New.
There were rules you never told me.
I didn't plan on getting this CD, but I saw a documentary about the making of this album, and so I thought, you know, why not? After all, it's Paul McCartney, how bad could it be?
It's bad enough.
Apparently he used 3 different producers on this CD, and I'm thinking, how do you tell Paul McCartney this song isn't very good? And I'm thinking the answer is, well, you don't. There are some tunes on here that are pretty bad, but there's also some really good stuff. And for a guy who is in his 70s now, his voice still sounds pretty dang good.
In the sky.
Now, here's a guy who, if he lives to be 70, I bet he'll be writing better songs than Paul McCartney at 70. It's Ginger Wildheart with his new CD, Albion. And once again, Ginger brings forth a collection of tunes that at their best will blow your mind, and at their worst are still better than anything on the radio. No, I think I just had an eargasm.
Wow, that's weird.
Ginger is a melody-making machine, and this CD definitely has some great songs on it. Like usual, it goes in all different directions, and the arrangements range from very complicated to very simplistic. He also once again uses a female vocalist for a lot of the background harmonies, and I really like that. It's certainly not my favorite thing that Ginger's ever released, but for sure worth checking out. Here lately, I've also been listening to some old stuff from a band that I've been a fan of since I was in high school. It's Wishbone Ash, and recently I found this album called Live Dates 2. And as the title suggests, it's some live stuff from the early 80s. And if you like great bluesy lead guitar playing, this is for you. Wishbone Ash has gone through a lot of different lineup changes over the years, but this by far was my favorite era. It had Martin Turner on vocals and bass, and Lori Weisfield and Andy Powell on guitars. They had some great studio albums in the 70s, but if you can find Live Dates 2 somewhere, check it out, because this is like a best of. Also on my iPod this week is a new CD from Nashville Pussy. What?
That's disgusting!
It's the name of the band, Nashville Pussy.
That is filthy.
Hey, I didn't name them, and I can't tell you about the new CD from Nashville Pussy without saying Nashville Pussy.
God should send you to hell.
Anyway, the new album from Nashville Pussy is named Up the Dosage, and it's pretty much just sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Really? That sounds great!
Last chance to get in your pants. Too much work for an honest man. Feeling low, riding high. One thing I learned is to hell with honey. You catch my flies with money. You catch my flies with money. You won't see no flies around me. Feel like God, smoking meth. And I'm gonna rub it to death.
This album is very raunchy and vulgar, and despite all that, I'm not sure I really like it.
Uh-huh.
However, Nashville Pussy does seem to have a sense of humor, and some of this stuff rocks. Kind of reminds me of, say, Molly Hatchet meets Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
So if you're into that kind of thing, go get yourself some Nashville Pussy.
Need to clean up our language.
And finally, sometimes I get in the mood for some pop punk, and that's when I pull out the first CD from Good Charlotte. They've been highly criticized over the years, and probably for good reason. But their first album was actually really good. It was produced by Don Gilmore, and it had some great hooks and vocal harmonies. Besides, I like a band whose initials are GC.
Just because I walk like Obi-Wan Kenobi. You people talk, but you don't even know me. And that's alright, cause I get down with GC. So I walk on and listen to their CD. Some people laugh, they do it just to spite me. Behind my back, they don't know what I see. But I don't care what they say, I don't need them anyway. I'll just go about my day, but anyway. You go out on Friday night.
Once again, spinning the wheel of segments. Where it's gonna stop, nobody knows, except me. And this time it lands on Facebook feedback.
I'm down with that.
Well, just when I thought there was nobody listening to this stupid little podcast, there were all kinds of fireworks on Facebook a few weeks ago. And it was all because I tried to answer the question, why was Wally Farkas not involved in the Galactic Cowboy reunion show? And Wally got really upset at me, and all kinds of drama unfolded, and a bunch of people weighed in, even though they didn't know anything about what we were talking about. And I got accused of being a liar and a phony and a really bad person, and one guy even suggested that Wally punch me in the face.
Nice.
So I went back and I listened to what I said on the last episode, and for the life of me, I can't figure out what was so offensive about it. But regardless, there were some really hard feelings, and to Wally Farkas, I am really sorry, man. I was not trying to lie to you or about you, but I do apologize for talking about it on the show. But for the record, I've talked about you many times on this show, and it's almost always been about how great you are. And I still think you're great. You're an awesome musician. I have cherished our friendship for over 20 years. And regardless of what you think of me, I still love you, Wally.
Now let's go to something else.
Okay, I'm going to try and lighten things up a little bit now by reading an email from friend and Rockcast listener Jeff Moore. And Jeff says, hey man, I was just listening to some Crunchy and the song Bill came on. Your vocal in that song where you are screaming, somebody let me out, gives me goosebumps because I can just feel the emotion. What are some of your favorite vocal performances that you have done? Well, believe it or not, Jeff, I probably got a lot more least favorite vocal performances than I do favorites. A lot of times you're in the studio recording something and you think it's cool, but years later you listen back and go, geez, what was I thinking? And I've got a lot of those, and there's a lot of songs I just wish I hadn't written. But you do the best that you can, and then you live with it for the rest of your life. But I can still deal with a lot of the vocals that I did on the Crunchy Loserville album. I did all the lead and background vocals on that CD, and I'm still happy with that song called Hard Goodbyes. As far as the Galactic stuff, I still like my vocal on Do What I Do, Ranch on Mars Part 2, and one of my favorites is still Never Understand.
Oh,
So those are a couple of my favorite vocals, and thanks for the question, Jeff.
This is remarkable stuff.
Now, I not only get questions from you guys, I also get suggestions. And I got a couple from Tobin in Texas. And I'm not sure why Tobin even listens to my show, because he seems to think I do everything all wrong.
You do!
And this time he has written to say that he thinks I need to play some music with real guitar in it. Possibly some Barry Gaudreau from Boston, a King's X song, some Van Halen, or maybe even a song by Alabama.
I love this idea.
Tobin says, this is real guitar music, real bass music, would benefit your rock cast. We keep hearing repetition. As of recent, Jimmy Jeff, bands you have been with recently, or new metal bands having obnoxious vocal effect with distortion, yelling voice, or screaming, or whining.
Whining, yeah, whining's bad.
Oh, wow, Tobin, I don't know what to say. I thought I was making some pretty good shows here, but you obviously don't think so. I mean, I try to play some cool tunes and expose people to new music and stuff that I think they would like, but maybe you're right. Perhaps I should just play some classic rock. It's not like people can just hear that kind of stuff anywhere.
You're absolutely right.
So, yeah, I'll consider that. But I am kind of confused about you saying I play too much new metal with bands with obnoxious vocals.
I bet he's right.
I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about. Screaming or whining? Where do you get that? So, Oh, wait. Are you talking about this kind of thing, Tobin? Yeah, and then you get to the chorus and it's kind of like this. Yeah, I bet this is what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, Tobin, I will try never to play anything like this ever again.
Oh, good.
And by the way, the name of this band is Hopes Die Last, and it's off their CD, Trust No One. It's a great album. Once again, spinning the massively huge giant wheel. And the next segment I'm gonna do is Top Tens.
I could not have seen this coming.
The Top Ten playoffs are rapidly approaching, and today I've got a couple of more lists that you guys have sent in. As I've said before, you can send me as many as you want, and today I have one from Mr. David Whiteman.
I'm not really expecting very much from him.
David has sent me a list of his favorite albums of 2013, and it begins at number 10 with Matthew Sweet and Susanna Hoffs' Under the Covers Volume 3. and I have not heard that album, nor have I heard David's number 9 choice, which is PSMS. And that is a live CD, which apparently has Mike Portnoy and Billy Sheehan on there.
That is so incredibly exciting.
Number 8 is Semantic Saturation, which I guess is kind of like Periphery, according to David.
Wow!
Number 7 is Alter Bridge with Fortress. And number 6 is one of my least favorite albums of 2013, but it makes David's top 10. It's Striper with No More Hell to Pay.
Ugh, Jesus! Oh!
At number 5, even though David doesn't think Dream Theater has done anything memorable in the last 10 years, their self-titled album from 2013 makes his top 10.
Did that make sense?
Somebody named The Aristocrats comes in at number 4 with their album Culture Clash, and that is followed by somebody by the name of Scale the Summit with their CD Migration at number 3. At number 2, well, of course, it's Spock's Beard. And at number 1 on Mr. David Whiteman's top 10 albums of 2013, it's somebody named Steven Wilson with The Raven That Refused to Sing. Yes, David says this is the best solo album yet from the lead singer of Porcupine Tree.
Oh, pinch me.
Now, as you can tell, I'm not a big prog geek like Mr. David Whiteman. But since David was kind enough to show us his list, I will now show you my top 10 favorite albums of 2013. And it begins at number 10 with Bless the Fall, Hollow Bodies, followed at number 9 with Bullet for My Valentine, Temper Temper. Number 8 is Volbeat, Outlaw Gentlemen and Shady Ladies. And number 7 is Bring Me the Horizon, Sempiternal. Number 6 is one of my favorite bands ever. It's Killswitch Engage with their CD, Disarm the Descent. Definitely not my favorite Killswitch album ever, but it was good enough to make my list.
Whoop-dee-doo!
Now, number 5 took a while to grow on me, but it's Senses Fail with Renancer. Kind of hardcore mixed with some just beautiful melodies.
And what the hell do you know, old man?
Number 4 is Like Moths to Flames with An Eye for an Eye. And that's followed by one of my favorite new bands, Secrets, with their CD, Fragile Figures. Number 2 is the amazing debut album from Dayshell. And at number 1, my favorite CD of the year, was Asking Alexandria from Death to Destiny.
Are you kidding?
I totally loved this album. I've worn it out over the last year. And Asking Alexandria went from just being a basic metalcore band to showing tremendous growth as songwriters. So there you go, there's my top 10.
Boy, was that ever painful to listen to.
Now, you remember on the last episode, I played you my top 10 songs of the year. Well, Jeff Koons from Minnesota sent me his, and so here we go. His top 10 songs start out at number 10 with The Hangman's Body Count by Volbeat. And that was also on my list, so yeah, Jeff, you have good taste. Number 9 is Breaking Them Heart by Heart by DAD. Number 8 is She Lied to the FBI by Alkaline Trio. Number 7 is a great song by Asking Alexandria called White Line Fever. Number 6 is I Owe You Nothing by Dayshell. Number 5 is Break by Glamour of the Kill. Number 4 is Strife by Trivium. Number 3 is In Due Time by Killswitch Engage.
Brutal!
Yeah, I love that song too, and it almost made my list, but I went with a different song. And that brings us to number 2, which is Sometimes You're a Hammer, Sometimes You're a Nail by A Day to Remember. And the number 1 favorite song by Jeff Koons of 2013 was That Fear Fever by Let Live.
What the freaking hell is that?
Wow, Jeff, Let Live, huh? I've seen them like 3 or 4 times now as an opening act, and I never really cared for them. But I'll take your word for it, and thanks for your list. You are now in the playoffs and eligible for an amazing prize package.
It's so amazing.
If you'd like to be like Jeff and find yourself in the playoffs, send me your list today.
The prize package that you're playing for is spectacular.
You know, my arm's actually getting tired from spinning this wheel, but the show must go on. And the next segment that I'm going to do is... What's on TV? Well, as I told you on the year-end special, Lindsay and I got Netflix, and we started watching Breaking Bad, and it was awesome. We got addicted. Well, we finally finished. And after watching every single episode, I gotta say, that may be the best TV show I've ever seen, besides Seinfeld.
Are you insane?
Now, if you haven't seen it, don't worry, I'm not gonna spoil it for you. But I will tell you, for me, it was like watching this awesome movie that lasts about 50 or 60 hours. The story was riveting, the acting was great, I loved the direction. And now I can safely say that Bryan Cranston is my favorite actor ever. And this may make me a bad person, but I will admit that I was rooting for him the entire series because I love Walter White.
You're sick.
Also on Netflix, I watched this documentary about Journey called Don't Stop Believing. And I think Chris in Baltimore suggested I watch this, and I had it on my queue for a while, but I finally saw it and I liked it. It chronicles how they found their new lead singer on YouTube, a little Filipino guy that sounds exactly like Steve Perry. I was very skeptical at first, but after seeing this guy, he seems like a real good dude, and he's an amazing singer. So good for Journey. I kind of liked them once upon a time, but they kind of lost me with all those cheesy ballads and that Separate Ways video, which has got to be the cheesiest, most embarrassing video ever made.
There's no doubt about it.
I've also been checking out this show called The Taste. It's basically just like The Voice, except instead of karaoke singers, it has people cooking food. Only problem for me is most of what they cook on there, I probably wouldn't want to eat. They seem to think that the more ingredients, the better, but it usually is stuff like, I took a crushed cauliflower and covered it with some yogurt sauce, some curry, and added some cayenne peppers, and poured it all over a deep-fried sea bass.
I'm about to vomit.
And so I got to thinking, you know what they should do is take The Taste and combine it with that show, The Bachelor. And there'd be guys on there making hot dogs and grilled cheese sandwiches. And the judges would say stuff like, you know, I noticed you added some extra cheese to that frozen pizza. Nice touch.
that's delicious.
Yeah, now see, something like that I would watch.
That is pathetic.
Now, the other day I got an email from Jimmy G in Chicago, and he told me that instead of watching the Grammys, he did his taxes.
What?
That's right. He would rather do his taxes than watch that hunk of crap TV show. Jimmy also had this question for me. Hey, Monty, what were you doing while the Grammy Awards were on TV?
I want to know.
Well, Jimmy, as with most of these award shows, I recorded it and watched it later so you didn't have to. However, instead of giving you a lengthy play-by-play breakdown of the whole fiasco, I'm just gonna give you the highlights, or in this case, the lowlights. So here we go, and the whole thing got started with Beyonce trying to give a lap dance to a chair.
Sexy!
Well, this must have made Jay-Z jealous, because he came out on stage to get him some of that.
Oh yeah.
He also did what he does best, which is talk really fast over some music.
That's incredible.
There was no song whatsoever that I could hear, but at the end of it, they got got a standing ovation, and I said, God, do I hate both of them.
Because they suck.
Now, the first award of the night was for Best New Artist, and it went to a couple of white guys who think they're black, named Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. And I'm not saying that they're as talented as maybe Justin Bieber, but they are definitely as douchey.
I believe that's very valid.
All right, here's a quiz for you. What happens when Paul McCartney and Dave Grohl get together for about an hour and pull a song out of their collective butts?
I don't know.
Well, the answer is they get a Grammy for Best Rock Song.
Well, yeah.
So that seemed kind of lame to me, but Paul did get up and sing one of his new songs and had Ringo on drums, and that was actually kind of cool. However, not so cool was when Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, and Merle Haggard got up and sang a song and then won the Grammy for Oldest and Most Decrepit.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm just kidding about the award.
Oh, okay.
However, there was the usual barrage of performances that I frankly just had to fast forward through. Everyone from Carole King, Katy Perry, Robin Thicke, and Pink.
Oh my God!
I've seen Pink fly around the room on a tightrope one too many times. And Robin Thicke should seriously just go buy a theater in Vegas. I'm confident that he'll disappear in a year or so anyway. But until his 15 minutes are up, I'm pretty sure there's a few thousand elderly people who would take time off from putting coins in a slot machine to go see his cheesy ass.
You are mean!
We also got a token performance from Taylor Swift, this time on piano, where she looked like she was having a seizure. Unfortunately, Taylor's days may also be numbered because there's a new hot chick in town and her name's Kacey Musgrave, who won for Best Country Album. And I'm not surprised. This is the way the industry works. If something sells, you get a carbon copy and you throw it out there. And it's obvious to me that Kacey Musgrave is the new Taylor Swift. She's just as mediocre, her dresses are just as short, and in a couple of years, you're probably going to be saying, Taylor who?
Let's hope so.
You know, the complaint I usually have about these award shows is that there's no rock, there's no metal. Well, this year, lo and behold, they had a little bit of both. Very little. Regardless, we got Metallica playing live, and that had to be great, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, no.
Ah!
First of all, James Hetfield, who has been one of my longtime rock heroes, now looks like somebody's gray-haired uncle. And I know we all get old, that's fine, but God, where'd the passion go?
I don't know.
Second of all, instead of getting up there and just thrashing our brains out like they used to do, instead, they were joined on stage by an Asian piano player. While that may be one step above making an album with Lou Reed, when the piano is mixed so loud that it drowns out the guitars, that equals a huge fail. I realize that this was probably the Grammys' way of toning it down for the people who were there to worship Beyoncé, but for a long-time Metallica fan like myself, it was just sad.
Sad but true.
And one more thing, it now appears that Lars has a skullet.
Say what?
That's right, not a mullet, but a skullet. Bald on the top and party in the back.
That is awesome!
Toward the end of the show, we got a performance from Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. And I say performance, but actually what it was a sermon. Because once again, we got preached to about how everyone is equal and it's awesome to be gay and blah, 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 gay marriage, blah, blah. And I get it, Hollywood has an agenda. But seriously, have we not been beaten over the head enough? And do they have to be so predictable? I mean, was I really surprised when Madonna came out there waving her gay flag? I mean, it was weird to see Madonna looking so old that she looks like she ought to be in a rest home now. But you're telling me she supports gay rights? What? Who's next? Lady Gaga?
I am shocked by this!
And finally, the album of the year went to Daft Punk. And if you have not seen them, they are a couple of faceless robots. Which I think says more about the state of modern music than anything hateful that I could come up with.
Well, that kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
The telecast was supposed to conclude with a big jam featuring Nine Inch Nails, Queens of the Stone Age, and Dave Grohl. However, part of the way through, the network decided they were out of time, ran credits, and we didn't even get to see the whole thing. I'm guessing if it was Beyonce closing the show, they might have found another 2 or 3 minutes. But since it's just some guys rocking out, let's just cut it off. Apparently Trent Reznor was pissed off about the whole thing, but seriously, Trent, what did you expect? I don't even know why you went on a show like this. After all, you're supposed to be dark and mysterious. Didn't you know things happen like this on a program that celebrates the worst that music has to offer? It's the Grammys, and like usual, it sucked. You know, my wife often complains that there's no reason for me to keep such a large, massive wheel inside of our house. But I tell her, hey, it's just one of the things that make this podcast so good. And the next segment that I'm gonna do is... oh, it's Facebook status updates. Yeah! Oh yeah, I mean, what did people do to get attention before there was Facebook? Well, I'll tell you what, nothing. We all just sat at home thinking up clever things to say, but no one knew how intelligent, important, or incredibly spiritual we truly were. But with Facebook, we can all share our thoughts, beliefs, and pictures of whatever we had for dinner every single minute of the day. And so here now are some actual Facebook status updates that I have read while wasting my life. Enjoy. We don't face opposition because we're doing something wrong. We face opposition because we're doing something right. I'll never understand how some people can actually breathe with their heads shoved so far up their own asses. Anything that takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life is wrong for me, and I must turn away from it. I almost said the word penis at work today. If some guy tries to hit on you, just talk explicitly about your raging period in detail. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere unless you change it. Thank you, God, for making my life suck so bad that others may feel better about theirs. Today I saw a fat and supposedly homeless kid begging for change playing a $900 Taylor acoustic guitar. If not for the traffic, I would have gotten out and slapped him to the ground. My wife is awesome. I'm a very lucky man. I could be raped by a camel at the bottom of the ocean, and I really still couldn't complain about anything. Not that I'm inviting camel rape, I'm just saying, I'd only really be able to complain about the camel rape. Everything else would still be pretty sweet. Lance Armstrong falls from grace, and suddenly it's okay to make jokes about losing a testicle to cancer? Hope you jerks are having a ball. Just something I've noticed about my atheist friends. They sure talk a lot about God. I'm just throwing this out there. God doesn't give a shit about sports. Hey, don't blame me, I didn't say it. When you wake up in the morning, you gotta believe in yourself. If you start believing in yourself, then life will get better. Maybe not around you, but inside you. little in life feels better than a new bra from Victoria's Secrets. I saw a midget today at Best Buy. I was so happy. Negativity is never satisfied. It always wants more. So let's speak life over ourselves and over others. Let's face it, I'm shallow and I don't care about you. You and I are just God's farts. And that, my friends, is gonna do it for another episode of the Rockcast. I hope you enjoyed it.
What a great, big, huge, giant letdown.
If you'd like to contact me, you can get a hold of me on Facebook or on my website, MontyColvin.net. Feel free to send me your top 10 lists, your questions, or just let me know what you thought of this show.
I thought it was terrible.
While you're at my website, be sure to check out my CDs, t-shirts, and paintings. And if you'd like to commission me for an original work of art, drop me a line.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna do that.
I'm gonna play you one last song, and this song crushes my skull every time I hear it. It's by a band called The Showdown, and Five Finger Death Punch only wishes they could rock this hard. So prepare yourself for a complete beatdown, and don't say I didn't warn you.
We're all sitting here with bated breath.
But that's gonna do it for me for now. I will return soon, hopefully. But until next time, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
Army picked on down. There's no coming back for you.
The end.